Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday, Papa Stro, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, Papa Stro, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, Papa Stro.
And there you have it. Tonight,
and many more
of Papa Stro's birthday
club,
right
brother.
Here on Scary Cats.
Who are those guys?
And,
are they the cousins of Slim Whitman?
They are cousins of somebody. Let's see, I don't know. Oh, here's – oh, we got Granny Hulkster with us. That's great.
That was a
key.
Oh, no.
That was a
key. Oh, no. Well, anyway, we're –
I thought they were
going
to sing Moon River there for a second.
Moon River.
No, not Moon River. But anyway, it was all good. It was all good, and that is the amazing Devin Tate, fine musician that he is, and his band of renown.
Yes.
Well, that's
and,
Devin, man. He's the best. Thank you, Devin.
Yeah,
you're awesome.
And,
I don't care what Dr. John says about you. You're awesome.
Exactly.
I don't care what Dr. John says about Devin.
Oh,
Devin, you're awesome.
Okay, and we have more fun. Who's calling in from, 323, that's Devin Tate. And 231, that's Robin. And
you can hear what
I
said, Devin.
Everybody here.
You're awesome, no matter what Dr. John says about you, you're awesome.
Thank
that's
you.
Right. Remember that. Remember that, Devin.
Okay, and Devin, just in honor of you, because we just played it and you weren't here, I'm going to play Papa Stro's birthday again. You ready?
Okay, let's go.
Break out the banjo.
There we go.
Happy birthday, Papa Stro, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, Papa Stro, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, Papa Stro.
Thank you, Devin. Thank you so much.
You're
awesome.
That was awesome.
Thank
Robin.
You so much. Thank you. And now Dr. John's going to do a rap song.
Oh my goodness. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to go around the room and say hello to everybody in the
order
that they are appearing.
The
well, I've added them.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, first of all, greetings to the birthday boy, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling.
You.
How are you doing?
Thank you. Great to be here. Blessed to be here with you all.
We are
blessed
glad you're
to
here.
Be alive and, alive and well.
Thank you. Yeah, it was.
Hey, guys.
Now. All right.
Welcome
to Granny Hulkster on the
show.
Is Granny Hulkster with us?
This must be a family get together.
Hello, Papa Stro. Happy birthday, my friend.
Hey, Granny. Happy birthday. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hope
well,
ice cream hard with everybody.
We certainly do. I'm not going to be able to stay on very long because I have my own podcast, but thank be here tonight for this very special occasion, and you know, as much as we love you, Papa Stro, I didn't want to miss this, so.
Oh, love you too. Give all the Hulkamaniacs my best.
Oh, I will. So, yes, my son Anthony just had a birthday 2 days ago. His was the 23rd. So.
Hey, birthday, Anthony! All right.
Very good. And the amazing one from Ravenel in Amazing Velvet is here. How are you doing, Velvet?
I am okay. How is everybody?
Hey, Velvet.
We're
how are you
excited.
Doing?
Good.
Velvet, my brother, give all the Velvet Knights my best.
Yes, sir.
Musician.
Papa Stro, welcome
musician.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
Yay. I'm honored.
It's a good club.
I know. It is a good club.
It's a great club. All right.
Especially upside your head.
I'm
just kidding.
Actually, to clarify everything, Papa Stroh's birthday is actually tomorrow, but this was the closest and first thing that we could find. So that's why we wanted to do it tonight. So anyway,
like
thank
a New Year's
you
Eve
for,
party all over again.
Right?
Yep. All right. And now from area code 323, that must be musician extraordinaire Devin Tate. How are you, Devin?
Hey, John, I'm doing great. They just announced that our stay-at-home order has been lifted, so things might be going back to normal here.
There's even more to celebrate. Yes. All right.
Very good.
Very good. Fantastic.
All right. Well, congratulations on that, and we're glad to have you here. And from parts unknown.
Hey, Devin, I'm a good look charm, brother. I'm a good look charm, brother.
Yeah, for sure.
We have the queen of scary cast, Robin McCray. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm good. Hi, everybody.
Robin.
Hey.
Miss
Robin.
Miss
Happy
you, Robin.
Birthday, Papa.
Thank you so much.
I'm so good to hear everybody's voice.
I'd give you a piece of cake if I could.
I'm telling you, I take it, too. You know me and cake.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I know you make some good cake, Robin. I tell you, you really do. And now, the first part of our show, we're going to hear from Chris and Paul from Nashville, the Nashville area. Hello, Chris and Paul. How are you doing today?
Oh, hell, another day in paradise. How y'all doing?
Chris and Paul. What's happening, brother?
That's right. And they have got an amazing Bigfoot story. They've got an amazing Bigfoot story for us. So,
I can't wait for that.
Which one of you is going to be telling it?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, I'm going to get you all warmed up for it. I'm still waiting on Chris. He's on his way here. Should be here momentarily. We've been fishing this one area for about on and off for about 6 months. And the curious thing about this area is, I mean, we can see a lot of water and a lot of, you know, a lot of woods, and there's never a sound there. Well, one
that
night.
That is a reason.
Mm-hmm. So, one night out, there was a scream that would, you know, put stand the hairs on the back of your neck up. I mean, it was not human. It was not an animal. It was that crazy of a scream. And then it screamed, and then it was just total silence again. There was not another sound that night. But this took, these things that happened, they happened over a good period of time, about 6 months. So my buddy Chris, he has experienced them even more than I have. But they've thrown rocks at him, or one of them did, and got pretty close to them. We're out there in kayaks. So, but we weren't reading the message, you know, the messages we were getting from, you know, we had no idea what was going on. But when we're out there, you can hear, there's been a few times right next to us, I mean, up on a bank in extremely tough walking and rocky areas, that you would hear stuff. And so the last time we went fishing there, both of us were in a position looking at the bank, and this something pops its head around a tree and had the biggest round eyes you ever seen. I mean, they just glowed like a green kind of hue.
They were
green? I mean, it burned. Say again?
It was the eyes were showing green?
It was kind of a greenish yellow. I mean, it was.
Because their eyes, they can flash different colors. The easiest way to explain it is like a mood ring. I mean, seriously. Color is it.
True.
It represents a different feeling.
Oh, cool.
So the fact that it was green is actually good.
Well, see, that's what
a little apprehensive, a little nervous, but it's not aggressive.
See, Robin, I the light bulb went off a couple of days ago because I was, you know, we've been having a lot of trouble processing the information until the light bulb went off about primates, you know, how their eye shape is. And
yeah.
when I tell you this thing peeked around this tree like it was like peekaboo, I mean, it actually had a whimsical.
They're really curious. I mean, they really truly are. And it's really funny because I always tell everybody while you're out there looking for them to see them, they're looking for you to see you. They are extremely curious. And, you know, it sounds like it's probably an adolescent. Adolescents are even more so because they're just like, you know, our teenagers. They're, you know, where they shouldn't be and wanting to see what they shouldn't be seeing and that type of thing. But they do, when it comes to the eye shine, they can flash all different colors.
It's a curious thing. Now,
yeah, absolutely.
I said to Chris, I said, can you see what I see? He said, yep. And about that time, it blinked, and it blinked very slowly. You know, when the eyelids closed, it disappeared, and then the eyelids went back up. But
yeah,
it, looking at the tree and judging from the tree from the ground up, it was 3.5, maybe 4 foot tall. It was a small critter. So. But
the eye shine is 3.5 feet off the ground.
Say again.
Yes. What?
Okay. Robin, are you back with us?
Yeah. Did you mute me?
Something happened. I don't know.
Yeah. I can be quiet on my own, I promise.
I know. So anyway, all right, well, that's cool. So, and you were telling me that the eyes blinked so slowly, Paul.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
I can.
Okay. Yeah, they were just, you know, we have fished over 100 different places in this area, and most are the curious thing about this area. We know we're out there 24. You know, we'll go day and night, and we know the sounds that are out there. And when I tell you, it is like somebody pushed a pause button on this whole area because there are no fish jumping, no birds, no squirrels, no bumps in the night, nothing. And I'm thinking that when the rocks were flying, I'm thinking that was probably the mama squatch when she was in. She still hadn't given birth yet. Because the way the time progressed, it was just pretty much, I mean, I don't know how big they are when they come out, but this thing was, it looked like a 10-year-old kid.
Robin, would that be about the size of a freshly minted Sasquatch?
No, if that eye shine was about 3.5-4 feet off the ground, you're talking a toddler. At 9 and 10 years of age, they are so big because of their accelerated growth rate. They're about 5 foot, 5 to 6. So like I said, a couple of things. If the head looked all that big, my guess would be that it was squatting. Like, I've literally seen them. I watched them from my house, look out my front yard, and they do this like a duck walk. You know how when we were kids, we'd sit on the back of our calves and you'd waddle like a duck and you'd walk? They can do that. I mean, it's just hysterical to watch them. But, like, when you're hearing the calls like that, the calls are to alert other ones. They go back and forth with them. Sometimes you'll hear other ones respond. Sometimes you won't. sometimes their calls will be just for them to alert other ones where they are, what they're doing, what they're seeing, that type of thing. So when they're hollering, it's an intent for one of the other ones to hear, you know, unless they're like screaming for a call for help. But the eye, like I said, again, the eye shine was a color that, you know, they were a little nervous, they were a little apprehensive, but they were curious. So, I mean, I don't think anything was aggressive. When they comes to throwing the stones, one, I guess a couple questions first. Were they big stones or little? Because it makes a difference.
Well, the first time it happened, the first time it happened, Chris was out there with somebody else, and this thing, whatever it was, he said it had to be at least 100 pounds that hit the water, because it just freaked them both out.
Okay, if it's that big, then that means you were actually inadvertently, not intentionally, I'm sure, too close. It was not an act of aggression. It was an act to say, hey, I'm big, I'm strong, look, I threw this in the water, you can see now what I can throw. Now you need to move on. Because if it was an act of aggression, they would have used that 100-pound rock to hit you, and I promise you they don't miss.
See, that's what Todd told me, yeah. Yeah, that's what Todd said. It you know, the curious thing is nobody goes out there ever. I mean, this is an awesome place to fish. We have never seen anybody out there day or night. And
well, you did make a comment that I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, that I really kind of picked up on. You said it's always quiet there.
Yeah, spooky,
okay,
eerie.
And I said, that there's a reason it's quiet there, because what happens is a couple things. When there is a lot of them around, the crickets don't even chirp. I mean, it goes into a dead quiet like you've never felt. All these things, and I tell this to everybody, everything is energy-based. They have an extremely strong energy around them. So the bugs, the crickets, the mice, everything picks up on it. Everything will, like, freeze and lay low. I had a female. I was, like, standing not even 50 feet from her, and there's a stray dog that was running. And this dog, as soon as he found out she was there, he dove under the nearest pine tree, and he just laid down. If he could have curled into that bark of that tree, he would have done it. And she was as sweet as can be. She had brought her baby for me to see. But, I mean, this is the reaction just from the dog. Now, the other thing that can happen is sometimes if they walk in and they're not really throwing a lot of energy their way, or they're not been in the area for long and it startles things, and everything goes crazy. So it's like either one extreme or the other. Nothing in between. So the reason why it felt like that to you was because there was a large amount of them around. You seem to be this fishing hole that you're going to is an area that they fish out of as well. They also stay near it so that when the deer come in, they grab the deer.
Well, this is the first time, you know, anything has come close to this. And I was telling Chris, I said they're getting a little bit used to us, you know. But after the rock throwing and stuff, and it wasn't long after. I mean, but my question was, so let's say that this what I seen was what, like maybe 9 years old or something.
If it's that low to the ground and the head wasn't that big, you're probably looking at maybe a 2 to 3 year old.
Okay, so in your opinion, Robba, was Mama was up on the bank keeping an eyeball on this little one, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so.
And you just got a little bit too close. That was all.
Okay, Chris is coming in now. I'll let you talk to him, okay?
Sure.
All right. Chris, I got Robin on the.
Sweet.
Okay.
Hi.
Now,
hey, how you doing?
He wants to know about.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Are you there?
This is Dr. John, and Robin's talking about. We're talking about Bigfoot. So tell us a little bit more about your story. It sounds great.
Oh yeah, we've had I got a couple little spots there because I do quite a bit of night fishing, and one spot that I go night fishing at, I got to where You know, they give me about 15, 20 minutes, and then they'll start throwing big rocks.
Yeah, the thing I was just explaining, and I'm sorry, I'm horrible with names, you guys, so just please forgive me. It's not you personally, it's me.
I'm fine.
So when I was talking to the other gentleman, what happens is that area that you're in, that's a feeding
yes,
place
ma'am.
For them. They fish themselves there. They also wait for the deer and everything to come up to the water, and then they ambush the deer and take the deer. So,
right.
And then you're going in at night, and you're not doing anything wrong. I'm just saying, but you're going in at night, and they're down there trying to catch the deer. Of course, they're in and out of there all day long, so I don't necessarily know that because it's night, it's making it any worse. It's just there. When you get too close,
right.
I don't feel like they're aggressive. The throwing of the rocks is kind of funky, okay? The bigger rocks are supposed to symbolize, hey, we're big, we're strong, this is what we can do. When they're not throwing them at you, but they're throwing them into the water, that's like somebody, you know, like let's say you're at home and somebody
right.
comes into your yard and they're wrestling around in the yard and you're like, hey, you guys, this is my place, you need to leave. You know,
right.
you're not being aggressive, you're just simply saying you're in my spot. You're not trying to kill
right.
anybody, you're just letting them know. And that's basically what they're doing. Now, they will take tiny pebbles at times, and they will toss them to you, and they will, the little tiny ones, and they'll hit you with them, not hard, but just like a light toss on it. That's just
right.
they want
yes.
you to know they're there.
It's like a test.
They want you to know they're there, but yet at the same time, they're going to do it. They're going to stay cloaked. They're going to stay out of sight, and then they're going to do that to see what reaction they get from you. Like, if that happens, are you going to turn around and start blasting with a gun, or are you just going to turn
right.
and say, okay, guys, I know you're here, you know, that type of thing. So it's kind of a little safety measure if they do it that way. But they're
right.
trying
well,
to hunt and fish in the same area you are. And apparently, from my understanding, what I'm getting is that they have a lot of children there. So you have to be really careful because at the end of the day, they're as protective of their children as we are, if not more so. There was a gentleman that at one time, he had went picking mushrooms at that point, and he didn't even know anything about Bigfoot. And he was picking mushrooms, and he looked up, and a small Bigfoot child had come up to him because it was curious. It's a little kid. I mean, how many times
right.
have we had our kids at the store, and our kids run up to a stranger, and we have a heart attack?
Right.
And the mom came up, ran up to him, and they're real famous for doing the headbutt. But when you get headbutted by these things, they have a very, you know, heavy skull. They weigh 1,000 pounds plus, and when they do the head bump on you, they will cave your skull in. And I know many people that, you know, I know several people that's happened to, unfortunately. It's not that they're aggressive. It's they're protecting their children, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you see a stranger,
and
that's it. It's not that it's because they're mean or killers or anything, because they're really not. Their ways are not ours. Their culture is not ours. Their way of life is not ours. They are a human hybrid. I've had the DNA from my guys tested multiple times. I worked with Melba, catch them on the DNA study. That study is as legit as it gets. The people don't know half of what really went on in that study because everybody threw such a fit. She just said, forget it. I'm not even going to give you the rest of the info. But so they are highly intelligent, and they have language. They can write. They have all these things. They are human, but they are human hybrid. They're human like us, but different. And, you know, there's a lot of miscommunication between them and us because most people don't understand their ways or why they do what they do. We take something a certain way, where on their side, they take something a different way as well. You know, and that causes more problems. In your case, you guys are just all hunting and fishing at the same hole.
Right. Yes, mainly fishing, and then, like I said, in one spot that they throw the rocks, we're 30 foot off the bank, and they're landing pretty close to the boat. And we're talking extra large rocks. And I
yeah.
can see that from the, you know, having the children and all. And then there's about 10, 15 miles away, there's another little spot I go night fishing at up a creek. And they'll actually take small pebbles and whatnot, and you can hear them go through the trees, you know, because if you hear a nut or something fall out of a tree, you can hear it click through the branches and land straight underneath it. Well, these will come
right.
start clicking in the trees from the left, and it'll land way over to the right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean,
well,
nuts don't fall like that.
yeah. No, the clicking and going back and forth is because you actually have quite a few there, which, you know, I'm not going to say you're in a dangerous situation. I'm going to tell you that you're in a situation, be cautious. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's just some of the ones that are just there hunting or fishing, they'll stand back and they'll let you do your thing. But if they have children with them, that's where it really gets a little hairy.
Yep.
And right. It's not going to be because, oh, my gosh, I want to kill you because that's my nature. It's going to be, oh, my gosh, these are my children. I will protect them with my life, just as we do.
Right.
Other things you can do if you're fishing, talk to them. They understand what you say, okay? They really do. They have their own language. The language from them, it sounds like a very fast gibberish. However, they can speak any language that they want, depending where they're at, and they can speak English. It is where we speak, and it comes from the top of the throat. You know, our vocal cords, when they speak, it's down in the clavicle area. It's much, much deeper, and they speak quicker. So between the depth of the words and as fast as they do it, it's very difficult to understand. People do, but, I mean, I'm just saying at first it's very difficult to understand. And I tell this to everybody, again, everything is energy-based. You can feel what's going on with them by reading the energy around you, okay? Everybody can do it. If it feels like it's a fearful situation, they are pushing that fear on you to make you understand it's now a scary situation for them, which means it's going to be a scary situation for you, and you need to take that and say, okay, who's ever out here today is not one that wants to play. I'm going to cut my trip short, and I'm going to leave. Now, if you're out there again and you feel the energy that they're near, but everything feels fine, then the ones that are there are accepting of you being there. You know, you may even want to, you can speak to them in your mind because they're all telepathic, but I mean, you can also verbally speak to them. And I would encourage that while you're out there. Hey guys, I'm out here. I don't mean you any harm. I'm just here. I'm going to get some fish. And when you fish, if you have a few extra fish, leave it on a rock for them. This is for you because you shared your space. And trust me, it does help.
Right. I know, but what you're talking about there, you know, when we go down that creek, you can tell it's kind of a playful type, you know, little pebbles and playing around.
Yeah,
exactly. Right there on the
that's a safer place for them. You're not as close to the children. You're welcome there.
Right. But down that Cumberland River there in my spot, four different times we went back there or went down there, and you know, we've heard them shaking and shaking trees and actually hear a major thump when the thing hit the ground. And the
shaking of the trees is going to be, I want you to know, I'm big, I'm strong, I was here first, I'm being apprehensive, I'm not going to come out and charge out here because I don't know if you're going to try to shoot me, I'm going to do it back here so I can let you know, I am big enough to snap this tree, okay, and I'm letting you know for sure that you need to step back a little bit. You're too close.
Yeah. Because, I mean, these rocks are thrown out there on the river. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 15, 20-pound rocks 30 foot out in the water.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, and when you get these heavier rocks like that, they are doing that because they are literally up on the bank somewhere or in those trees nearby, and they're saying to you, listen, we are here. Now is not the time for you to be here. You're not wanted here. I'm not going to try to hurt you. I'm trying to make you leave peacefully. Don't make me be aggressive. I'm trying to make you leave peacefully.
Right. Yeah, usually whenever they start throwing rocks, we'll kind of pull anchor and drift on down.
And that's exactly what they want you to do. No, but you're doing exactly the right thing because here's the thing. You can be with them in an area. I've been around them since I was a toddler, okay? I mean, I go outside my front yard and they're running through the trees. You can be around them and you can make it work. And you can have a positive experience with them. But you have to look at the signs. Because they really do give you signs. Not that there aren't some aggressive ones. But I explain it to people that we have our own people that are aggressive. You know, I mean, we have people that are rapists, pedophiles, murderers, whatever. They are part human. They have the same thing. Primarily, they are good. They just want to live their lives, raise their children, and exist. That's all they want. So, you know, when they do give those signs like what you are getting, I'm not picking up that group was aggressive, and normally I can pick it up. It's not an issue. Ask John. I do it all the time. But I'm not picking up that group is an aggressive group. That group is a group that's not used to a lot of people coming there.
Right. Exactly. That's what
and, yeah, they don't have any animosity to you, but they're confused as why you're there because most people aren't. But I will tell you just that one area is heavily used by them. There's always somebody in there. Very rarely are you going to be in that area that they're not. So if you can go down a little, a little ways where they were just throwing the little pebbles and everything. It's a much better situation for both of you. Their children are over that one area. I keep getting told that there's a nursery not far from there. You don't want to mess with that. That is not anything because the moms, the dads are protective, but you don't even want to know what the moms will do. You know, but like the clicking, the clicking in the trees, the squeals, that's, you know, those hollers, especially when you don't get one back, is for a couple of things. They're yelling and they're saying, hey, this area has already been taken.
Right.
And they're giving a call to the other ones. And when the other ones don't move or don't call back, what they're doing is they're moving in. They're they've got the sound from the one that there's somebody here. Alert, you guys, there's somebody in our area. The other ones don't have to respond. They know the cue. They automatically move in. And when they move in, they're going to be all around you. Okay, so now you're cut off. It doesn't mean that they're going to come there and kill you. It means, you know, you're going to be there respectfully and until they aren't going to tolerate it anymore. And then, like you said, they're throwing these 20-pound rocks. Those 20-pound rocks mean I'm big, I'm strong. Look, I can throw a 20-pound rock, which means I can throw your car.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know people that they've literally thrown a car.
Hmm.
Now, I've not had them. Pardon?
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
They haven't. They've never destroyed my car. I know people that I had a friend of mine that was actually out in the woods, and he was walking through the woods, and he had suspected one was out there, and he passed by an old car somebody had dumped in the woods. Walked by it, he got so far past that, and all of a sudden he heard what sounded like metal ripping, and next thing he knows, here comes a bumper over the top of a very tall tree and landed down in front of him. I mean, they can do it. But it,
Robin,
and I tell this to everybody many,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but what is your opinion of, I mean, Todd says that they can sense, not only are they telepathic, but they can sense stuff. And do you,
absolutely.
Well, you know, when we seen the one peek around the tree, you know, it didn't register to us till much later, but Mama was up there and the baby was down there and they didn't make a sound. And so, do you think that that the mom is getting used to us?
It's possible. What you want to do in that situation, because like I said, the most dangerous place on the planet for anybody is by a Bigfoot with a kid. I mean, really, there's nowhere you can hide. What I would really suggest, and I know it's been helpful for people, announce yourself when you get there. Okay, so that way if the kids are there and they're playing, the moms will call them back closer to them. Let's say you're driving up and you're pulling and you get out of the car. You're going to holler. I mean, you can mind speak it in your mind. They all are telepathic. If their families have not taught them how to use their telepathic parts, then they don't know to do it. They all can do it, though. I know some that when they were little, they didn't use the telepathy because their parents didn't teach them. Once they got older and they were taught that, oh, yeah, we have this gift, they could mind speak like pros. So get out of the car. You're going to holler in a nice voice so they don't think it's being aggressive. Hey, guys. I mean, you don't have to be screaming, but hey, guys, I'm here. All I want to do is get some fish. I'm not here to bother you. You know, whatever you want to say in a manner so that they know your intention. Put that intention out there. And that way, too, if you make a noise, and again, you don't want to scream it, but you do want to, you know, in a loving manner, let them know they're there so you're not startling anybody. If there's kids around, the moms can bring them back. Now, if the kids are too close to you, you're going to know because they're going to start throwing a rock or something, or they're going to make a noise. Well, you're still at your car. Okay, that's for your safety, not theirs. But talk to them. You can be out there fishing, and if you feel like you're hearing them walking around, talk to them. Hey, guys, I don't want anything from you. You can do whatever you want to do. We're going to stay over here. I'm just going to get my fish, and then I'm going to leave. I'm not here to bother you. I'm not here to see your children. I'm just here. And a lot of times, believe it or not, it really does help. Now, the other thing is they know your intention before you do. Okay, not only are they telepathic, they read your thoughts, they read your mind. They know what's in your heart. They tell people they're what they call pure of heart. If you are a good human being, you are called by them pure of heart. If you have darkness in you, they are going to call you pure of heart. They just don't like you. because you have darkness in you. And it doesn't mean that you aren't going to ever do anything wrong, because we're human. We all screw up. But they read that part of you as well. Like if you're, let's say you're pulling in and you're getting ready to throw a line in and they don't want you there, before you even have that line ready to throw, they already know that's what you're going to do and they'll let you know it. But, you know, it sounds like you're doing better a little bit further upstream away from them. That one area, for some reason, I see a lot of kids there, a lot of them. I don't know if that's where they're taking the kids to drink, you know, maybe. And I feel like they're taking the kids there to teach them how to fish. Okay, the other thing that you're going to want to be, and I'm going to tell you this only because I've had very large amounts of people call me in a panic because this has happened. They didn't know what it is. If they have the kids there, and the older ones do it too. It's not just the kids, but the kids do it a lot. They do something called counting coup, okay? And it's part of a ritual for the kids, and then the adults do it just to be smart asses. But they cloak themselves, which they do it by bending light. If you ask them, how do you cloak yourself? That's simply bending light. They're standing right there and you can't see them. But they will go up to you while they're cloaked, and the test is to touch you. Whether it's an arm, a leg, not hurt you, just a slight touch.
Right.
And that's it. And it's supposed to be a thing for bravery, and then they go running back. So you have to understand that when they cloak, these beings can be right next to you, even if they're not going to touch you. I had one, I was getting in the car one night, and he was in the bushes. He was about 9 foot. And he was in the bush line along the side of my house. I knew he was there. I mean, the dogs were watching him and kind of sitting there staring at him. And I was getting stuff out of the car, and I knew he was there. And I heard him walk up behind me. So I turned around. Of course, I didn't see anything. So I go back to looking in the car for whatever it was. And he got directly behind me. And it felt like he was, you know, you can feel somebody standing behind you.
Yeah,
like
right
I could feel his, I could feel his breath on the back of my head. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if you count coup on me and touch me, I am going to have a freaking cow, because I was looking for something in the car. And I was actually not real happy because I couldn't find it. And I'm like, I'm going to zap somebody's ass if you come up here and play that game with me tonight. I'm too tired. And then I heard foot movement and he left. You know?
What about
I don't know which one it was.
Well, I got two questions, Rob. Now, evidently, the wood spirit really like you. And number two is, what about the smell? Wouldn't you notice the smell?
Not always, no. Here's the deal with the smell. Can they make a musky odor? I mean, it's not like a skunk they can just manufacture and shoot it off. But they can make smells. My ex-husband would get all worked up because he'd be out in the woods and all of a sudden he'd get the smell of coffee, of hot coffee, and that was from them. They all like to have certain odors, but there's a lot of them. Like I have a big male, he's like 10, he's probably 10 and a half foot tall now, and he's around all the time. Like he looks in my window constantly. He's never had an odor. I've never noticed an odor with that boy. And then I have another one that pops in and out from Texas, and he likes the smell of skunks, and he'll rub skunks all over him. So whenever I smell skunk outside, only it's just an extreme amount of skunk, I'm like, okay, Mike, I know you're here. Thanks. You know, the females, when they're pregnant, they love to run the smell of flowers all over them. That's a big thing. But again, not all of them will have an odor. So that's kind of like a myth that really doesn't help you.
Right.
Some of them have better body hygiene than others. It's just like with us. You know, sometimes like you'll go to Walmart, you'll walk by somebody, you'll think, for the love of God, man, find the soap aisle. You know, find the soap oil. And then you'll walk by somebody else and they smell like aftershave, you know.
Yeah.
So it just depends. And they will use smells, things that smell out in the woods, whether it's pine needles for a smell of pine. They'll use different, you know, flowers or leaves or whatever and rub it all over them for that smell. Others don't want to smell at all. You know, some of them are great on getting in the water in the ponds and bathing. Others are horrific at it. I saw a video once of this one that was running across the road, and I was like, good Lord, the whole back of him had feces stuck all over his buttocks and all the way down his thigh. And I'm like, there's no water out there? What are you doing? I mean, I know females that take branches and stuff and use those as hair brushes, you know, that'll brush their hair. I've seen females, I have a picture of one in my backyard where her hair is piled up on top of her head. You know, if they find ribbons or trash or whatever in it, in the trash, they'll use ribbons and braid it.
Why is your area there, like you're talking about, why is it such a hot spot where you're at over there at your house? Any idea?
Honey, it's like that no matter where I live.
There's something psychic going on there, some weird stuff.
For me, I have had them around me since I could walk. Wherever I end up is where they show up. I've never lived in a house that I didn't have interaction, even as a small child. By the time I was 4 years old, you know, back then you could go, you know, little kids would go walk to the corner and back. You know, your parents weren't worried you were going to be abducted. And
right.
I lived like 3 or 4 houses from the corner, and on our corner was the woods. And they had little dirt things down there you could ride your bike on, or you could build castles in the dirt or whatever. And I would walk down there all the time, and I had 3 or 4 of them come out in the tree line and watch me. And they would mind. I didn't know. See, for me, I didn't know mind speak was a thing. I just thought everybody did it. And years ago, like back in 2009, I had a friend of mine say, you know, can you mind speak with them? Well, I didn't know what it was called. You know, I said, no, I don't think I mind speak at all. I said, I don't even know what it is. And we started talking, and they made a hoot and a holler in the woods, and we got distracted. And like a week or so later, they said something to him, and I heard it, and I said, oh, they said this. And he looked at me, and he said, well, I thought you didn't mind speak. I said, that's what you're talking is mind speak? And he said, yeah. And I said, God, I've been doing that before I could talk. You know? I didn't know what it was. But, yeah, I mean, they're really everywhere. I hate to say it. I mean, there's some areas that they're not always in all the time. But it's like where they're at around the lake, they don't live there. Where their actual nest is are not these little temporary teepees that everybody sees out in the woods. When you get to where their nest site is, and I was taken there one time by them, and this is like nothing you've ever seen before. And it's impenetrable to get to it, literally. I mean, to get to it is beyond belief. So they leave that area, and then they go out to the areas that they'll walk through, and they'll hunt, and they'll fish, and they'll stay, and they let the kids play or whatever. And then they go back to these isolated areas that nobody can get to.
Right.
But, you know, now this particular house where I'm at right now, and this really isn't that different than the house I had in Michigan, both houses I had in Michigan. Here, I mean, and John's seen the photos of them, I get everything. I have Bigfoot, I have dogmen, I have cat people, I have ETs, I have portals that open up with heads sticking out of them. I have beams from UFOs that come down in my bedroom. I have a lizard man picture from the backyard. Right now I have some unknown cryptid wandering around. I don't know what the hell that thing is. I've yet to figure it out.
Damn, you got a party going on back there.
most of the time, yes. I looked out my front yard one day, and I have I own an animal rescue, and I had 2 dogs out there in front, and one of them had gotten loose. The dog next door dug it out and had gotten loose, and I've been trying to catch it. And I looked out there. There's a white bear standing out there holding it. And I'm like, just walk her into the bloody kennel. And they did eventually. It took 5 months before I convinced them to help me out with it. And they had tried the one time, and when they tried to lock her in the kennel, they actually broke my kennel door. So that didn't help. But about a week ago, they got her back in. So, see, I've looked outside, and here they are holding this dog. You know. They do all kinds of crazy things out here. But we get a little bit of everything. I mean, and I think it's like that everywhere. It's just people aren't aware. Once you open your mind, these things are really there, you notice more. The old saying is seeing is believing. That's a load of crap. Reverse it. Once you start believing it, you'll start seeing it.
That's what's up.
Yeah. All right. Well, now, you know what? I appreciate you guys coming on. We've got a very exciting part 2 for our show tonight. But it's been Paul and Chris from Nashville talking about their UFO story. And, I mean, their Bigfoot
and you
story.
Guys,
and
you guys can get my number from John. And you're welcome to call me anytime or find me on Facebook. I'm under Robin Haynes McCray. And we can talk more.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, Dr.
No
John,
problem.
Before I get ready to go, I would just like to say how amazing I thought their story was. My husband was actually in awe because he asked me, he says, are they talking about Bigfoot? I said, yes. I said, this woman, Robin, she is like a Bigfoot expert person. I mean, she knows her stuff. And my husband, he was absolutely amazed at what you were talking about. He said he couldn't believe it.
You guys can contact me anytime. Like I said, I don't believe I'm an expert in this field, although I appreciate the compliment immensely. It means the world to me. But
he was just, because we were on our way home from the Moose Lodge, and we were listening in my car, and he was absolutely just astounded by what those guys, what Chris and Paul were sharing and what you were talking about.
Great experiences. And it's fantastic.
I can't imagine going out to your front yard and finding a Bigfoot holding on to your dog. I mean, just standing there hanging on
your window,
holding your dog.
Oh my gosh!
It is out there.
Yeah, John knows. John's been here. My freak show.
Yeah. Well, Papa Stroh's been there too.
I love you all, Papa Stroh.
Yeah.
Papa Stroh, happy birthday. I mean, I wish you a happy birthday tomorrow on Facebook, of course, but I love you all, and I got to get ready to run because I got to do my podcast in about 15 minutes. Well, thank you so much, and y'all have a good week.
Take care.
God bless y'all. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, Papa was here when they were shaking the trees out.
Happy birthday, Papa Stroh, Papa Stroh.
Papa
Stroh. Happy birthday, Papa Stroh.
Happy birthday,
Papa Stroh.
Happy
birthday, Papa Stroh. Happy birthday, Papa Stroh. And there we go. It is now time for Papa Stroh's birthday party. We're so excited to have you here. We got about 11 or 12. We've got about 11 or 12 people on, and I know everybody wants to say hello to you, wish you well, and maybe ask you a question. Would you field some questions from your wonderful and exciting life, Papa Stroh?
Are we done juggling apples with Bigfoot?
We're done.
I just want to make sure.
It's part two time now.
It's part two, which is
Papa Stroh's birthday party.
Yeah, Bigfoot was the curtain jerker match for the evening, so his done. He took it home, so let's go.
Yeah,
just continue with the card.
All right, and I'm just going to go in order
not
of how people are on here. So speaking of that, the Amazing Velvet's first on this list. Velvet, what have you got to ask Papa Stroh?
Lord have mercy. So how's it feel to be 50 now?
Well, it feels great. It feels great. You know, I don't have as much hair as Bigfoot, but which I'm pretty happy with. It'd be kind of be quite uncomfortable. You have to work, have to use Nair, and you know, like he would do sometimes. You know, I mean, in those Nair commercials, we wear short shorts. You know, but it feels great to be an old man. It's great to have.
Your
all things to come of being
magazine
old.
Will be in the mail next week.
Thank you so much. AARP, man. You know it.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
You want to do AMAC. Don't do AARP.
The Gerbers,
you're on the wrong side.
The Gerbers taste great. You know, I like the apple. It's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're crazy, dude.
Yeah.
We
good
love
time,
you,
man.
Happy birthday, man. It's going to be awesome.
Love you too, brother.
I owe you a steak dinner for your birthday, but when I get a chance, you will collect on that.
Thank you so much. Hey, as long as it's not lizard biscuits from Somerville, South Carolina,
okay.
I'm good, man.
All right. You're good. You're good.
All right. Thank you, Amazing Velvet. Next on the list, the one and only, the composer in residence, Devin Tate. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk to Papa Stroh about?
I'm doing good. I just want to wish Papa Stroh a happy birthday and much luck with your year this year. Just wondering what projects you have coming up here in 2021, what you're working on.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. I have got a lot of stuff happening. I'm going to be in a possible Twilight Zone like short on set for that coming up soon called The Dark Tower.
Cool.
Also going to be have a possible miniseries coming out soon. The best way I can describe it is like real Vincent Price type-esque miniseries. And also, doing the fourth season of the Duster Race later on this year. I'm going to be on set next month for the Harlequin origin story called The Devil's Daughter. And I'll be starring as Dr. Jeremy Arkham in that film. And lots more to work. So as soon as I get the green light to divulge more info, I'll definitely let it, you all know. You'll be the first to know, for sure. So I'm really excited to get back in the game, per se.
That's awesome. Well, I look forward to keeping up with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah,
you definitely. And thank you so much. And,
it's,
you know,
gonna be a busy
80s forever.
For you.
Now, Papa Stro, have you ever had a song written about you?
A couple of them, actually. And then there was even a rap song. Someone made a rap song about me a while back. Matter of fact, that's where the whole Stro thing came from. The bulge from Maestro was a bunch of kids came together and made a rap song about me and used Stro for short for Maestro. That's how the Stro thing got started.
Oh, okay. We did not know that. All right. Well, again, Devin, thanks for that great song. What a great way to celebrate Papa Stro's birthday. Next on the list, Robin McRae. What have you got to ask the man? Not the myth, but totally the legend, Papa Stro on his birthday.
Oh, okay. Let me think. I got to come up with something good. I don't know. My main thing I want to know is what he was going to be up to. But it sounds like you are going to be swamped. Now, you going to have time in the middle of this? You know, usually you get out, like you travel a little bit, and we can see you. Are you going to be, like, glued home now with all this? Or are you going to still be able to get out and visit everybody?
I'm going to be doing a little bit more getting out there and visiting, you know, of course, taking all the safety precautions with everything going on. But, I got conventions coming up.
I didn't know if you were going to be doing any at all.
Doing that, and I got some virtual stuff I'll be doing also coming out. So pretty excited to dive into all that. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I just did a appearance on an upcoming series. Well, Hightown, that's on the Starz channel. I'm going to be in an upcoming episode with Luis Guzman coming out soon. So.
Fantastic.
Be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
You'll post that on your Facebook page when that gets ready to happen, right, Papa?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely, once I get, like, the photos from the episode, I'll post that out once it's out.
Yeah, let us know.
Absolutely.
Now,
do
you have
a lot of people
that
will watch that.
Year?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a lot of personal appearances this year?
They're starting to pick up now quite a bit. I was kind of waiting to see how things were kind of going with the new year and everything, but things are starting to line up. So just doing all I can and then just happy that I'm able to be a little bit more productive than normal. So.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Good questions, Robin. Next, from Jacksonville, Todd Saxon. Todd, what have you got to ask Papa Stro?
Papa Stro, I'm going to just ask, first I'm going to say happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Weren't
thank
hungry
you so
this weekend.
I was very busy.
very
busy.
While I'm still in town, you know, any given weekend, just holler, brother. Just holler.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because it was so darn nice to be able to sit down in a relaxed atmosphere there on Christmas and just, you know, no agenda, no nothing, just hang. It was nice.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And, we'll get together soon, definitely, for sure.
Awesome, brother.
Great to hang out again.
Yeah, because, there's some hidden gem food-wise here in Jacksonville, so.
Yeah, just let me know when it'll be a good time for you. We'll do it. We'll make it happen.
Yep. That'll work.
All right. Thank you very much, Todd. Glad to have you over here from Pop Culture Starz. And we got two more Pop Culture Starz here with us. First of all, Tim Armstrong. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for inviting me along to the show. Papa Stro, I know I've only met you one other time. I did want to say happy birthday. It's a very special birthday because – it's the same birthday that my son has. So you guys have that in common, which means I'll never forget your birthday. And as Dr. Johns told us all, we should ask a question. I just thought I'd throw it out there. Do you have a team you're rooting for the Super Bowl?
You know, first of all, Dad, please wish your son happy birthday for me. You know, give him my best. That's really cool. That's really cool. And and I really hope to bump into you guys soon. And as far as the teams go, you know, forgive me. I have like not really kept up with the whole football scene here for a bit. But who are the teams in the Super Bowl this year?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the Chiefs, and who was it? Buccaneers. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. You know, I really don't really have a it's really hard to pick a favorite of the two because, I really hope it's a good game. You know, I mean, I really do because, I mean, there's nothing worse. There's nothing I hate worse than seeing one team run roughshod over the other at the Super Bowl. Right, so I'm hoping it's pretty competitive and at least a good game.
Yep, that's a good answer. Hey, the other thing I was going to ask, I remember the last time I talked to you, it's been a few weeks, but I believe it was in early December. So how was your holidays?
It was good, quiet, much relaxed. My mother got a new dog, a Cocker Spaniel named Ebony.
That's right.
And
she's
a sweetheart. And just doing things for the family and just getting myself back on track, stepping up the training, the cardio, and all this more light ahead because, you know, I got not just film stuff and conventions and other things dabbling in the works, but, you know, I may have some possible wrestling dates this year, getting back in the game with that. So, but I'll keep everybody informed how that goes. Steelers. I've been a Steelers fan for a long time, Steeler Nation for years. So, you know, I mean, no matter good years or bad years they have, I've been pretty loyal to the Steeler Nation, right? Which I tried to be a fan of the New York Jets a long time ago, but it just wasn't happening. So, they were the sure thing to do, Steelers, you know.
Who are they? Well, Joe Namath is now doing commercials on senior channels now, Papa Stroh. It's just amazing. He's still out there. He's selling health insurance now. So
yeah.
He got them started a long time ago. And I'll tell you what about the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs are going to have it rough because that Super Bowl is in Tampa. And that's going to be –
That was
right
when
make
get
it kind of,
what am I
get started on that.
Well, that's one of my first favorite like football feuds of in football was like fueled the Joe Namath Johnny Unitas feud, the Colts and the Jets back in the day. Yeah,
absolutely. Namath was hot. Namath could pitch a ball out there unlike anybody else. I swear he could. But I remember that. And Tim, thanks. Good questions. And last but absolutely not least, he's been sitting around waiting to just get started with us, Dave Atwell. How are you doing, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I was entertained with the Bigfoot talk, so I was just sitting there enjoying the view and listening in. I'm sorry I was late. Had a little bit of work and household drama going on that had to be solved before I could dial in, but... Yeah, good to be on. Stroh, big happy birthday. And more importantly, welcome to the club, big man.
Oh, thank you so much, brother. I'm really honored.
And what I will tell you is that 2 days after my 50th birthday, I opened up the mailbox and there was an ad, a catalog for hover rounds in the mailbox. I didn't take it lightly. They must be watching, but nevertheless, 50 is not so bad. It's the new 70. So, it's good to go. And as long as you've got your mind intact along with your body, 50 ain't so bad. So, big happy birthday to you. And
thank you, bro. Really blessed.
You invaded the house the other day, and you didn't even realize it. I was listening to some shoot interviews on YouTube while I was doing housework. You know, had it. I wasn't watching it, but I was listening to it. And Jake Roberts was talking, and I sat down with a drink for a minute, take a break, and I sit down. There's Jake Roberts, and then there's a guy sitting next to him, I guess, is hosting the thing. And who's sitting to the next side of the host? Papa Stro. I said, what is this guy doing? But there,
I'm everywhere, man. I'm like E.F. Hutton.
I'm telling you, man, turn right on up. But, yeah, man, I hope you have a good birthday, and give the family my best. Tell your mom I said hello, and I hope everything is going well on your end. And
yeah, same with you and your family.
I appreciate that. And they all wanted me to tell you happy birthday also. And
oh, please give my best. I miss them so much.
Yeah, Michelle. I mean, we're all missing the Khan family, and you hit the nail on the head a couple minutes ago. You know, it when you start doing those things, you kind of get used to seeing those folks every couple months. And mm-hmm. when you go for a year or 2 years without seeing anybody like that, it does start to get distant. So I'm looking forward to the cons getting back in gear and, you know, there being some return to the way it was.
Yeah, let us pray.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No kidding.
Let us pray. Funny, I can tell you, Dave, funny story how I first met Jake Roberts, right? I met him at a show a long time ago, right? And I was doing the whole Gorgeous George thing, right? And when I was doing the whole Gorgeous George thing, I was pretty much living it, right? Pretty much. And I had people do stuff for me, like carry my bags and set up stuff for me and everything. And and he was like watching my mannerisms and everything, and he was getting pretty heated. He's like, this guy's a real jerk, right? And all this, and then he stopped, and he thought about it. Hey, wait a minute, this guy's working me. and this is how we got to be friends, you know. We've been friends ever since. So, but yeah, that's how I first met Jake.
It's good to see him getting along as well as he is now, too, because, you know, we all know the issues he went through. And he was always real entertaining in the ring and everything. And to see those guys have breakdowns sometimes like that is, you know, as a fan, it's tough to see. But it's good to see him coming around. And it looks like he's really on top of things now. So God bless him. And I'm, you know, happy to see him.
Yeah, he's such inspiration, right?
Yeah, making progress. Anything to, you know, to move forward, that's the big thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was telling someone today that, you know, we don't realize who we influence in life. You know what I mean? I mean, what we do affects others. And there are others out there, believe it or not, in this world that depend on our survival and existence to carry on their deal. So, I mean, so it's very important, you know, how we take things day from day and how important we really are to others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, we just got the news of the passing of Hank Aaron, and with him being my favorite.
One of the greatest ever.
That was
sad. Man. And it just totally torpedoed my my day. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where, and at 86 years old, you know, things happen, but nevertheless,
right.
You're right. You know, you don't realize the impact you have on people, but a lot of folks are, you know, entertained by your presence or, you know, appreciate the impact you make or, you know, the sports, the goals you accomplish or the, you know, songs you sing or the movies you're in and blah, blah, blah. But might not seem much to you because you're just a regular guy being a regular person like a regular guy would, but to others, you mean the world. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to definitely good to hear you. I hope you have a fantastic birthday, brother. And
you too, brother.
I'm sure we will be crossing paths sooner than later.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope it's soon. Yeah, much love, y'all. I miss you guys so much.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate that. And my question is, Papa Stro, what are you going to do in the next 50 years? And what are we going to be doing? What are we going to be talking about when we are on the 55th Papa Stro's birthday party?
Well, by that point, getting older, And as far as communication goes, you'll probably hear more grunts and groans than words at that point, because I'm, you know, that probably only
bro,
way I'll be able to communicate.
You're gonna be saying bro, you're gonna do the bro solution.
No, at that point I would sound like Bigfoot. Actually, I would sound like Bigfoot.
Bro.
That'd be like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, you're gonna sound like
Bigfoot. I will.
Bro.
I think the best description would be I would sound more like Chewbacca. By that time, 50 years.
Come on, all right. Buddy. Come on, buddy. You'll be fine.
That's a good answer. And we'll take a 20-second break and listen to Papa Stroh's birthday. Then we'll come back with more
Yay.
Papa Stroh's birthday party action. Because here we go.
I'm sorry, people.
Happy
I didn't put them up to this. I'm sorry.
Papa Stroh, Papa Stroh. Happy birthday, Papa Stroh.
I sang along, buddy.
As Takashi said, Revenge of the Nerds, I didn't do that.
All right. I'm now going to open it up, and anybody can just talk to Papa Stroh, and we'll have a great time like we always do. No moderation, just everybody. Let's not step on everybody's verbal toes, and let's just get started. And Velvet, since you're talking
Dr. John,
right now.
Dr. John, you're the greatest stone groove, my man. You're the most awesome ever.
I love Dr. John.
I don't know about
Stop
that. Well, we try. Sometimes
oh
we're not
gosh,
perfect.
Oh, my gosh, y'all funny.
Yeah.
Stroh, are you supposed
it's
to be coming down here soon?
Am I?
Yes, I'm going to be down there tomorrow. I am.
Not
we
you.
Talking to me or we talking?
We're not talking to you. We're talking to Papa Stroh's birthday. You
oh, I'm sorry.
Hell.
Okay.
I hope so. I miss it out there, man.
Isn't there something? Isn't there a Comic Con or something going to happen soon here? And they planning one?
I think so, because I just got some an updated Comic-Con schedule. So I think
okay, –
let me
yeah.
– give me about a second. I can check and
yeah,
see what the
I
schedule
think
said.
Some, I think I overheard somebody over the weekend talking about they're working some comic thing, and I went, that's got to be Comic-Con,
mm-hmm.
Jim. It's got to be the Captain Comic Comic-Con.
Yeah,
Captain,
I've heard
that's
a couple.
That's
in
February, right?
I've heard of a couple out there.
Right.
But and what they're going to have to do, I think it's very doable because, you know, again, not to get into the logistics of COVID, but if we could shove all these people into a Walmart, I'm sure we could shove them into a Con. And, you know, there may be, and for those of us who do cons, and Lord knows we've all been through it, sometimes they're exhausting because they're not giving up a square inch. The promoters will, and that's one thing I always credit Dr. John with doing is whenever he throws one, there's always enough room to grow. You know what I mean? There's room to wiggle.
I'll be the milk and cheese section.
Yeah. And some of these cons that, you know, you go to, though, you can't get up out of your table. I mean, going to the bathroom is work.
The one down here is like that. It's all slammed together. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. So they'll have to, you know, look at their table configurations, and they're going to have to look on how many tables instead of selling, say, you know, 50 tables, they'll might be able to only do 35 now. So, you know, that kind of stuff's going to go on. But I don't see why they couldn't have them, you know.
They'll put me on the carts. You know, for COVID protection, and cart me out to the cars to wave at everybody. In the car, a wave.
Be like a pageant queen or something.
Do the pageant leader, yeah.
Do the queen's wave, right?
That's right. That's right.
Do the velvet wave. The amazing velvet
mm-hmm.
wave.
Be like homecoming.
Yeah.
I'll be standing 6 feet away from you, and we can do it together.
Yeah. Let the pageantry begin.
That's right.
And you have sparkles around the carts, too. It'd be great.
Oh, that would be cool. Be funny, too.
Oh, hilarious.
Hell yeah. It would be good.
Well, I've got an announcement I'd like to make. The first Saturday in April is going to be the first annual Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction. It's going to be at Holy City Brewery, which is up in North Myrtle Beach. It's kind of off Montague Street.
No, it's not. It's, it's on North Charleston, not in Myrtle Beach.
I'm sorry. Yeah, North
we
Charles,
are not
North
going to Myrtle Beach.
No,
oh,
we're not going
Lord
to Myrtle Beach.
Mercy.
Nobody wants to go to Myrtle Beach first Saturday.
Everybody's going surfing. Surfing USA.
We're going to see inductees such the likes you've never seen, like Papa Stroh, Susan Green, Tony Rose, Tommy Wildfire Rich, The Amazing Velvet, and some more. And it's going to be a blast, and we're going to have an expo from like 2 to 5, or maybe 1 to 5, depends on when I get the posters printed. We'll have an expo. It'll be outside because they've got a nice space, and then there's a limit of 25 people that can come to the induction because they only have room for 35, and so that's going to take care of the inductees, and it's going to be a blast. And we long needed to do this. To honor these folks that have given their lives and have really made this thing, made wrestling what it is today and how it's really enriched our lives, because we've met a lot of great people. We've met a lot of great people in wrestling. We've seen them do their craft. It's an amazingly – Papa Stroh and Velvet, I know you'll both agree with me. It's terribly difficult to be a wrestler. It's hard work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
If people only knew.
It is. Oh, yeah, people only knew for real. You're right.
I mean, you have to watch everybody. You got to watch the crowd. You got to watch your opponent. You got to watch the referee and just hope nobody does something dumb and someone gets hurt. I mean, that's first and foremost.
Exactly.
That's a tough thing, Papa Stroh, isn't it?
Yep. Got to watch your backs, fronts, and everything else.
Exactly. Well, he's right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I mean, I hope we're going to have a good time. Velvet's helping me out a little bit on this thing because he's down there in
Charleston. And watch the checks,
and,
too.
And yes, it's – pardon?
Watch the checks.
Yep.
Checks
yeah.
The, checks
anyway,
in the mail, right?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
PayPal.
Oh.
Watch the PayPal.
Oh, that. Mm. No, we'll
– Anyway
– We'll discuss that.
You won't feel
time.
A thing after we do it.
There's my commercial for the Carolina Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Next, who else has got anything they want to field out with Papa Stroh tonight? I've never heard it this quiet.
Papa Stroh, we are going to... I know you got your stuff coming up this week, but as always, on Sunday night we have pro wrestling interviews. You join us on that. We had Susan Green this past weekend. We are bringing her back,
great.
But it's going to be a dual kind of thing. We're going to have more people than we had this past Sunday because we're going to have a second guest who is none other than Crazy Train. And Crazy Train has not been seen in the South Carolina area for about 20 years. So he is going to be on. I came across him. He was one of the guys I wrestled early on in my career and ran a bunch of shows with, and he ran some with me. So
right.
So he disappeared. I mean, he really did. He wrestled with my company, and then all of a sudden – about 2 years after running with us, he just fell off the face of the earth. I came across him. Susan knows who he is. Michael Devine, a bunch of all of us know him. I don't know if you've ever crossed paths with this guy, but I'm sure if you have, you'll know once you talk to him. So he's going to be on with her, hopefully, because he was. I took 2 weeks to talk him into coming on the show. so I really had to make it work. But yeah, that's what we got going on Sunday night, and
ten o'clock
Sunday night, pro wrestling interviews with Dr. John, Papa Stro, the Amazing Velvet, and a cast of others. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, that's it for us.
Sounds like a superb pro wrestling interviews. It really does. And all right, now anybody else got anything that they'd like to say or wish Papa Stro on his momentous birthday, the big 5-0 as we discussed, but it's just great to have you, Papa, and we're already planning next year's.
Happy
or at least
birthday,
I am.
Buddy.
Oh, thank you. WCW Retro podcast, by the way, this Thursday night we're going to be doing a part two of wrestling's Giants. Attractions and monsters. So last week's was so good, I decided to do a part two of that as well for this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time on VOCNation.com, of course. And I also will have a old Sherlock Holmes film as the feature for Friday night's The Stro Zone on my Facebook, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. So look
will
that
be Basil Rathbone?
No, I'm sorry.
Sherlock Holmes? Will that be Basil
Rathbone
as Sherlock Holmes?
What was that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Basil Rathbone played him many times.
Yeah, it's an old Sherlock Holmes film from the 50s, I believe.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So, looking forward to featuring that this Friday night at midnight.
Well, that's great, Papa Stro. We'll all be there. I know I'll see you on WCW Retro things.
Here's the title, by the way. Sherlock Holmes.
I just have no money to feed her, so she's either going to have to eat breakfast here or she's getting nothing.
You tell him, Velvet.
That's right.
Okay.
Jesus.
But the feature,
crazy.
The feature,
you think
the title
you
for
think
the feature.
You got craziness going on at your house. I got plenty at my house.
I'll tell you what, I was just sitting there appreciating the mayhem because I'm thinking, whew, I'm not the only one that's going through it tonight. It's misery always brings good company. You know that, so
I'm like, I thought I hit the button to mute the mic, and I really didn't care because I'm like, look, I'm tired of this crap. I'm supposed to be quarantined because I'm having a procedure a week from the day. So I'm on quarantine this week. I get my COVID test on Thursday, and then I'm going to be quarantined all of the following week as well. So it's like, y'all can't step, like my son, you can't step up and take your sister to school. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. You can use my line that I use all the time. Am I the only one here? I hit that all the time. Am I the only one here?
No. You know what? No, see?
But,
see, all the cars are in my name. You know what I do? We have a place we hang all the keys up, right? I take them all down. They're all in my pocket.
Oh, wow.
You want to go for a ride? You got to come get them from me.
But
the title of the
film is Sherlock Holmes and the Secret Weapon for Friday night.
Thank you.
Going back to you. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. No, it's all right. It's all right.
We're ruining your birthday, man. I'm sorry.
How could you ruin my birthday? This is great. This is a lot better than last year. And what a year that was.
Right.
Indeed, yep. It is Basil Rathbone playing Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Now that's
all right.
Pretty good.
Well, it looks like I'm going to go back around and let everybody say goodbye and send you with a good wish, Papa Stro, because this is Papa Stro's birthday party, and I'm going to go from the bottom to the top now.
Yeah.
Dave Atwell, what would you like to say to Papa Stro as we say sayonara on Papa Stro's birthday party?
Just another big sayonara. Just another big happy birthday to you, man, and it's good to hear your voice and everything, and I hope you have a great birthday. And, you know, much like mine, when I turned 50, I had this big bash planned, and, you know, I had been mulling over it. You know, I had 50 years to plan it, and this whole COVID stuff showed up, and everything got shot to pieces. So I totally lament with you when it comes down to how things roll, because, you know, birthdays are pretty cool, and when you get our age, there's a reason to celebrate. And
yeah, right.
And yeah, so hope you have a good birthday, and like I said, pass my best on to the family and everything. And like
I
said,
will, absolutely.
You will be,
same with yours.
We'll be crossing paths sooner than later. That is faux show. But happy birthday,
yeah,
brother.
Thank you, brother. Hey, cigars and Pabst Blue Ribbon for you.
You got it, baby. I am on it.
Oh,
you are here in the house, aren't you?
Because your birthday's tomorrow, you're going to be on In the Room with Brady Hicks tomorrow night, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Really excited. Yeah, we'll be taking callers from all over and talking about all kinds of stuff. So if you guys want to call in, please do. It's always a good time. Those guys are so much fun.
Yep. Like us. Next, Tim Armstrong from Pop Culture Stars.
Yep, I know there's a lot of people on. I won't take much time, but just again, happy birthday to you. And the same as I would say to anybody else, I hope this year treats you well. Enough of this COVID crap. I think we're all over that. So hope you have a wonderful birthday, and hope you have many more wonderful birthdays to come. So that's all I got to say from Indy. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Hey, keep in touch, right. And thank you for your support. Please give your son a great happy birthday for me.
I will do. Thank you, sir.
Todd Saxon from Pop Culture Stars, where are you?
Papa Stro, just many, many more birthdays for you. Indeed, I hope, and, you know, health and happiness, sir.
Oh, same with you, sir. Thank you so much. And let's do lunch soon. Whenever you're
absolutely
ready. Let's make it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Next, from ScaryCast, Robin McRae.
Happy birthday, Straw.
Oh, happy birthday to you, Robin. Thank you so much.
I wish you nothing but the best, sweetheart. I hope this year is filled with nothing but wonderful things for you and all your projects.
Same with you, Robin. Lots of love and
happiness.
I know
you'll be successful. And you got to come visit.
I'll
I haven't
do
seen
my
you
best.
In a while. That's on your,
yeah.
On your list.
We'll have to get together and watch Dr. John run from all the cryptids again. That was
I know.
Great.
Won't that be fun? I'll tell you what, they are loud and proud down here right now. I don't know what's going on, but, man, the last 2 weeks, they have just been full of themselves.
God, we had such a blast. Oh, my gosh.
I know. We did. It was so much fun, and we loved having you here, sweetie. You're welcome anytime.
Oh, anytime. Thank you. I can't wait.
Yeah, we got to get you down here.
Yeah.
Now, Robin, you have to also cook Key West Sloppy Joe's. Those were great.
Yeah, Sloppy Joe's and cheesy potatoes.
Oh, cheesy potatoes.
God, yes.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, I'm going to come. I'm only down the street. I'm coming.
Okay.
All right.
That's
it's,
okay.
It's a party.
You can come, too.
You're
thank
part
you
of the crowd.
Well, we'll be there.
Yeah, you're,
okay.
You're welcome anytime, babe. Maybe you guys can help me figure out what this cryptid thing is running around, because he's
hey,
going to die.
I'm in.
He's
hey,
gonna
I can do that. I'm in. Home. I'm in.
Oh, we have no idea what this thing is. There is not a cryptid out there that fits this description.
Bill will be like, Dr. John, look what I found.
All we know is that said they're going to be dropping more, so here we have it.
Oh, yeah? All right. Well, let's get on it, man. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're
good.
Welcome anytime.
I'll get this thing instigated and started for sure. And thank you, Robin, the queen of scary cats. And now, our
yeah.
man in Hollywood and the greatest composer that we know, Devin Tate.
Hey, everyone. Happy birthday, Papa Stro. Rob, I hope you liked your birthday song. And I hope that
love it.
I
thank you.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, maybe, Oh, thank you. Maybe I'll make it over there. Maybe I'll make it down there to the to your area this year later if I can travel. I would love to
that
make
would
it
be
down
good,
there.
Kevin.
Yes, please
yeah.
let me know. And likewise,
yes,
if
would.
I'm up in your area, I'll definitely let you know.
Yes, sir.
For sure.
Of course.
Because I might be up your way, actually, because I'm doing a film project with the director out of California. So I'll definitely keep you informed.
Awesome.
That would be great. I'm going to try to get out there to New Mexico. I've got some unfinished cowboy business out in New Mexico that I got to get there. And, of course, if I get to New Mexico, the next
cowboy.
Place I'm going is
Area 51.
Yeah, well, actually, this will be more historical. We'll be out at Fort Sumner, and then we'll be out at Lincoln. But then, of course, we'll be in Roswell with John LeMay, who will be on the show next week. It is his week. And John's always a lot of fun. I went to my door, and the Amazon lady was there, and there was a pack of four of his books in there. I thought, golly, well, sign up to read them. But I've got most of them read, so I'll be up to speed for Cowboys and Aliens Part 2. That'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And thank you, Devin. And now, the one and only from Ravenel, the Amazing Velvet. What have you got to say to this guy?
Papa Stroh, happy birthday, brother. I hope many, many, many more.
Thank you, man.
I love
you, brother. Thank you.
I love you, too, man. I hope this year turns out to be one of the best for you. I hope all these projects take off.
Same to you, brother.
I hope. Everybody's got irons in the fire. But I think I'm going to have Devin make the new Amazing Velvet entrance theme. I would be honored to do that.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
We'll talk later, Devin. I'll figure it out to get a hold of you and we'll talk turkey. But unless John has your information, he can pass it on to me if that's okay. I watched your career and I followed you a lot, and then when I actually got to meet you, under really duress circumstances for me, because I just came out of surgery when I first met you. I mean, I was only 6 days out of surgery, when you did your first show with me, and I'm like, oh, this cat's cool, and he's professional, you know, and he's like funny. Like, it was all in one. You were the whole package. You were the whole package, dude. And then, you realize quickly after doing a few shows with us that we have a legit show. We have a legit show versus a shit show. You didn't have a lot of problems. We didn't have a lot of, you know, crap going on. So, I do it old school. Like it should be done. If you're not broadcasting on a television or a streaming network, you're not WWE, you're not AEW, you're an independent organization. There's no reason to have 13 daggum matches.
Right.
You know, you're not on TV. They barely got 13 matches on TV now in a 3-hour time. So. But, I mean, all right, well, I love you, brother, and I wish many
more. Love you
more,
too, brother.
Hopefully I get that steak dinner to you because you deserve it, the big 5-0. So.
Thank you. Anytime you want.
Thanks for doing all this stuff with us, man. You know, we can't do it without you.
Always. Yeah, thank you for having me, brother. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Yep, Papa Stroh, we can't do it without you. We never want you
Thank
to
you,
leave.
Thank you, Dr. John. We love you too.
You're the best. As I tell everybody, 6 years ago I was at Tidewater Comic Con. We were doing caricatures, and some guy named Jonathan Moody started talking with me about wrestling. And he said, "Well, Jake the Snake's up there." I said, "Great, I'll go say hey to Jake the Snake." And then I went and said hello to him, and then I had to get back because Cody and I were working. And then he comes back, he says, "But you didn't talk to Maestro." I said, "He wasn't there when I was there." He said, "Well, he's there now." I said, okay, I'll come talk to him. So I go up and talk to him, And of course, we know everybody. You know, everybody I know, he knows. We had a great time, and that was 6 years ago. We started talking, and we haven't stopped yet. And I hope we never do, Papa. You're just the best. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us. And I guess our next entree is going to be Wednesday night, 9 p.m., Pop Culture Stars, working on a guest there. And it'll be a blast. I got all the Pop Culture Stars with us except for Liz. Our Pop Culture Stars are Todd, Tim, Dave Atwell, Amazing Velvet, and Liz Brackett, and me. And that's a fun weird group. It's just crazy as it can be. Heck yes, it is. All right, thanks everybody. It's been a wonderful Papa Stroh's birthday party. I have had a blast. And thank you.
Everybody,
and
we'll take care.
Love y'all. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Okay, can't wait to go to Robin.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
That's
right.
Love you, Todd.
Bye, guys.
Happy birthday, Papa Stroh, Papa Stroh. Happy birthday, Papa Stroh. Happy birthday, Papa Stroh, Papa Stroh. Happy birthday, Papa Stroh.
Boom. All right, guys. See you next week.
Awesome.
9 p.m.
Right.
For the one and only Scary Cast. Be good.